Let's look real quick at Ephesians chapter 3 and one verse in chapter 4, and then I'll pray. Ephesians chapter 3, let's read a very famous portion of Scripture. We're going to start in verse 14 and read through 21. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 21. I'm going to begin. New King James. For this reason I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. And again in verse 6, chapter 4, let's look at that and then we'll pray. Chapter 4, just a little bit further, verse 6, and here the writer of Ephesians, which was Paul, is saying to them in Ephesus that there is one God and one Father of all who is above all and through all and in y'all. Does it say that? It does. It should say all y'all. Huh? I mean, if it was proper Georgian. But it, some translations say the word you is not in there. So they put instead, let's look what it says. It says, it might say instead us. So, and in us all. So does that include everyone? All of us. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I just thank you, Father, that your Spirit dwells in us and that it is your good pleasure to give us the kingdom of God. That, Father, you, before the foundations of the world, before you even began to create anything by Christ, you thought of us, Lord. You deliberately purposed that we should live in this time, Father. That there's no mistakes, that there's nothing that goes unnoticed by you, that each one of us were perfectly created, each one of us was purposed in your heart to be here at this time in the world. That we would walk in the trials that we have walked through, Father, according to the knowledge that we've had, Father. So, Lord, I just pray that the revelation of Jesus Christ would be revealed in each one of our hearts and minds. That, Father, that we would be able to walk according to the truth of who we are by your Spirit, Father. That no longer this world and what it says about us would be the strength of what we live by, Lord. But instead, the truth of who you are in us. And I give you all the praise and all the glory of this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 That should give you some clue as to where we're going today, by the way I prayed. Before I start teaching, I want to share a little portion of my testimony. I was praying today, and I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, there's a lot of things I can say, but what do you want me to say today? What do you want to share to this group of people today? And he said, Ephesians 6:19. And I go, okay, let's look at Ephesians 6:19. Because I don't know what it says off the top of my head. Is that part of the armor of God or what? So let's just, for me, it's flip a page. For some of you others, it's a twiddle of your thumb. Okay, and I'll read verse 19. Ephesians 6:19, and this is what he said. He said, and for me, this is Paul speaking. He says, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. I'll read 19 also, or 20 also, because it kind of goes together. For which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And I thought, wow, that's kind of not on task with what I was thinking. And so I prayed about it. And I really started praying about it. And as I was praying about it, the Lord reminded me of something that he said to me in part of my testimony. And so I'm going to share that with you. In the beginning portions of my walk with the Lord when I really wanted to meet the Lord. I said, when I actually got serious, this is my testimony. It's nothing you all have to walk through. You have your own story. But this is what happened to me. I said, Jesus, if you're real, if you really are God, if you really did raise from the dead, if you are eternal King of glory, and that you are going to rule and reign forever, and you said you would manifest yourself to us, then I need to meet you. None of this by faith stuff. I need to actually meet you. Because at the place I was at right then, Christian used by faith, that meant maybe it will, maybe it won't. There's no proof. We'll see what God does. That's where it was. So I didn't like that statement by faith. That meant no, basically. So I needed to know for sure that he really was who he said he was. And that's just where I was. And I said to him, I said, I will read this book and do whatever it tells me to do. But I need to meet you face to face. And that's how I set out on my Christian walk. And I started reading this book morning, noon, and night. I would sit there with a concordance and a lexicon and search out words and read it over and over again. And I was reading a book called The Spiritual Man by Watchman Nee along with it. And as I was reading it, every scripture that it had, I would search that scripture out and just really delve into this whole Christianity thing. Well, one day I had a trauma in my life and I was misled. And this created quite a frustration in my heart because I thought God had told me something and it didn't happen that way. At least it seemed like it wasn't going that way at all. And I was very frustrated. And so I ran out of my house. I grabbed a cigarette from one of my Christian roommates. And I grabbed a cigarette and I was going to go smoke this cigarette because I wasn't smoking anymore or getting high or doing any of that stuff anymore. But I was so frustrated, I just grabbed one or two of their cigarettes. And I ran out of my house, walked briskly. And went up to this industrial park that was kind of by where we lived. This is in Portland, Oregon. And I was walking and pacing back and forth in front of this industrial building that was closed. And I'm pacing back and forth with these cigarettes in my hands. And I go, Lord, I thought that you told me the truth and that what you said was true. I don't even know what to believe anymore. And as I'm pacing back and forth, I heard this voice in my head. And it went, forget about that God stuff. Go out, get high, get a couple of girls, forget about this whole thing. I was pacing back and forth, and you know what? It all sounded pretty good to me at the time, except for one thing. It wasn't my voice that I heard. Usually when I'm talking to myself, it's in my voice. It was not my voice that I heard. I had those cigarettes in my hand. I threw those down on the ground and started running home as fast as I could, which was a couple of blocks. And I started heading home. And as I'm heading home, freaking out about this voice that just talked to me, this natural world started getting dimmer and dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. And this darkness started taking me over. And I started being able to see into the spirit and not into the natural. The natural was fading away and the spiritual was coming to reality. I made it home, got onto my bed, grabbed a little Gideon Bible, those little New Testaments with Proverbs in it, and a small cross that I had made, threw myself face first down on my pillow on my bed with this cross and this Bible clenched to my chest. And I'm saying, please don't let me die. Please don't let me die. Please don't let me die. I was scared, boy. And this darkness just swallowed me up. I knew I was laying on that bed, but it wasn't real anymore. This darkness that I was enveloped in was what was real, and I had no power to get out of that moment. I had no power. In that darkness, I was suspended in nothingness. There was no height, no depth, no width, no length, no breadth. I was just suspended in this nothingness. And there was like this vortex was just around me like this. I had God's undivided, complete attention in this suspended darkness. In this darkness, there was no light whatsoever. There was no substance of any kind. There was no sound. There was no smell. There was no temperature. There was absolutely nothing to stimulate me of any, nothing. There was no motion. I couldn't flap my arms and move. I was just right there. There could have been somebody 1 inch away from me, and I would have never known it because there was no sound, no light. There was no way of making a sound. So it could have been packed full of people, and I would have never known it. I'm not saying it was. I'm saying it's possible. But I knew I was suspended in this absolute darkness, and I was scared to death. And all I can say was, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. Please don't let me die. Please don't let me die. Please don't let me die. And as I was in this darkness and that vortex was on me, this picture comes flying in front of my face. And this picture that flew in front of my face was the first thing I ever believed. How do I know it was the first thing that I ever believed? I tell you, it's the weirdest thing. At that moment, my thoughts were crystal clear. From the very first thought I ever thunk to the moment that happened, I could go back and forth on the timeline of my life completely unrestricted. I had full access to every moment of my existence, every word I ever spoke, every relationship I was ever in, every thought I ever thunk. I know the words think, but where's it thinketh in the New Testament? And I could go back and forth on that timeline. So I knew this picture, which was one photograph, but it was like alive. It spoke volumes to me. That one picture, I knew everything leading up to that moment and what was going on in that moment. And it was the first thing I ever believed. And as that picture was there in front of me, this powerful, booming voice said, "This no more." And I said, "Yes, Lord, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. Please don't let me die." And whoosh, out the picture went. Soon after, another picture comes flying in, right in front of my face. There it is. Bright as anything, just alive, the most vivid photograph I've ever seen, more than 4K resolution. It was wild. In that, I could remember the exact thing I thought that made me come to this realization of the truth, and it was the second thing I ever believed in my life. And he said, "This no more," and then out it went. Behind it, another picture, boom, right there in front of my face. The third thing I ever believed, the fourth thing, then the fifth thing, then the sixth thing. And he went through my entire life of my belief system and how I would make decisions about what was true, who I am, who you are, those kinds of things that ran my life. And he got to my whole life, to just 2 days before, where I had a bunch of revelation out of the Bible, because I got dramatically saved when I got saved, and I just had a tremendous amount of revelation. And this one thing that I said, I was wearing a cross and I was with this girl and I said, "This cross is just an idol. People worship these things." And I just tore it off my neck and threw it into a bush, and it scared her. Tearing it off wasn't the sin. It was the fact that I scared her, and he showed me this. And I said, "Forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. Please don't let me die. Please don't let me die." Horrified. So there I was in all that time, and then silence after this was over. And I am freaking out. I'm just wailing and gnashing my teeth. Just, "Don't let me die." I was so afraid. I couldn't get out of this moment. I was a prisoner of this moment. After about 20 minutes or so of just being there in that darkness, after he showed me all these pictures, this Bible went right in front of me. And the Bible was opened. And then he said this. He said, "This, learn it. And when you speak, speak as I would speak, agape." And then the Bible went away. Then it went on to a few more other things, and then the vision left, and I was back into my bed. The important part was that statement. He says, "This, learn it. And when you speak, speak agape as I would speak. And when you speak, speak as I would speak, agape." Those were his exact words. And you know what? Today, he reminded me of that. As I've been teaching lately about that the Father was in Jesus, and the Father and Jesus are in us, and we are one with them as he was one with the Father, and that the things that Jesus can do, we can do also because he went to the Father. Isn't that right? John 14 through 17. I was sharing that on Thursday with you all. And that is so real and so true. And then the Lord said this afternoon as I was praying, "When you speak, speak as I would speak, agape." And all of a sudden, it just went click. And something just clicked in my heart this afternoon. Here's the thing. I've been talking about that we need to not separate ourselves from God. We're here. God's there. When we pray, we say, Lord, would you heal them? Would you do something in the situation? We need to stop doing that and that we, in his name, go and do those things, right? Didn't Jesus said everything he did in the name of the Father? He revealed the Father. I looked in my Bible. Do you know, I looked in my Bible. You tell me if I'm wrong. I'm willing to be corrected. I never saw where Jesus used the name of the Father. I can't find anywhere where he used the name of the Father, but he said everything he did in the name of the Father. Just like we're supposed to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't find anywhere where Jesus said, I do this in the name of my Father. Or he didn't say Yahweh or Jehovah or El anything. Am I wrong? But he did all that in the name of the Father, didn't he? Well, I was thinking about that this afternoon. Just a little food for thought. And I thought, where does it say that we're supposed to do things in the name of Jesus? Go ahead, shout it out. John, Mark 16, Acts chapter 3, Colossians 3:15. I'd have to look in the Colossians verse. Yes, it is. And all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God through the Father. Giving thanks to God the Father through him. So we are supposed to do all these things in the name of Jesus. Does that mean we say in the name of Jesus all the time? We can, though. We can say in the name of Jesus. But the name of Jesus isn't a magic phrase, is it? It's not the magic phrase that works. So here's what he said to me. He said, when you speak, he said, first of all, learn this. So I don't think he was only talking to me, even though he was only talking to me. But it's like there's no prophecies of private interpretation, right? So he's probably talking to all mankind. This, learn it. And when you speak, speak as God would speak. Agape, love, right? Look in Ephesians chapter 3 again. We're going to read that again. Ephesians 3, chapter 14, chapter 3, verse 14 through 21. We're going to read this again. Are you with me? So it says, for this reason I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, right? We're all named from the Father. All of us have his name, every bit of it. We're all his. Verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. In other words, according to the fullness of his glory is how he's going to give it to you. To be strengthened with might through his spirit, where? Who has an inner man or woman? About a third of us do. Okay. Half of us maybe have an inner man or woman. I think all of us do. My opinion. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in what? Being rooted and grounded in love. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height. Like when I was suspended in that nothing, the width, the depth, the length, and the height, that you would really know the expanse of this thing. To know the love of Christ, which was passes knowledge, that you may be filled with what? Is this true? We say yes. But is it really true?
Yes.
Really, Miss Jackie? Hold on. Wait a minute now. There's some things I say is true, but I don't really believe they're true. I say they're true because they're in the Bible. And I don't dare call God a liar. But I don't actually believe it's true. because what I really believe is what others see in my life. What I believe I live. What I believe is how I spend my time. What I believe is where I spend my money. What I believe is what comes out of my mouth. What I believe manifests from me. Right? So do I really believe that I can be filled with all the fullness of God? A couple of you guys are nodding your head yes. Huh? Should be's don't count. You either do or you don't. Either I got money in my pocket or I don't. It's not whether I should have money in my pocket or not, but I should. It says, to know the length of Christ, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that's beyond knowing, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. What is that being filled quantitative? What makes that real? What's he talking about in the verses above that says that you may be able to be filled with all the fullness of God? We just read it. Rooted and grounded in love. To the degree that we are rooted and grounded in love is the degree that we know God and that we are filled with God. In other words, however much love you have in your life is how much you are filled with God. How much love are you able to freely give others? That's how much God you're able to give to others.
You mean God is love?
No. God is love. He is, isn't he? So to the degree that we can manifest the fullness of God is how much love can we actually receive and give away. Do you know, I've counseled with thousands of people, at least hundreds for sure. And do you know this, I'm just telling you the facts of my experience one-on-one with other people. Do you know people would rather be kind and do something for somebody else than to be able to enjoy somebody else loving on them? Do you know that? Most people are starving. They want two things. And if you're not one of these people that want these two things, I don't want to know about it. But it's this. Number one, people want to be loved. They want to be loved. And number two, they want to be accepted. But I'm going to rephrase the word accepted and say this. They want to be wanted. They want you to want them to be around. They just want to be around. They just want people to want them to be around without wanting anything from them, not wanting them to perform in any way, just happy being with me. Most people want to be loved and want to be wanted in a good, clean way. Do you know that? Most everybody I know. But you know what? People have the hardest time receiving love. Most people, I don't know what it is, but most people really believe they're not lovable. That if people really knew me, they wouldn't want to get too close to me. Do you know that? But the truth of the matter is, the only way to be filled with the fullness of God is to be filled with his love. To be able to receive God's love and love from other people. The good, clean kind, not the weird kind. I'm talking about the good kind.
In other words, birds of a feather.
Flock together? They do. But the point is this, is that to the degree that we can be filled with the love of God, we can manifest God, right? So let me get back to my point so I don't wander astray too much. When we speak as God would speak, agape. Didn't Jesus do that? Didn't Peter do that in Acts? Didn't the apostles, after they were baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, didn't they do that? Didn't the 70, when they were given authority and they went into the other communities, seemed like they did that? I mean, we don't have any of their accounts on what they did when they were sent out or what they said, but the way it's written, it kind of seems like they were pretty excited when they came back, okay? And he says, don't be excited that devils obey you. Be more excited that your names are written in heaven. In another place, that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That you have this, right? So here's my point. Are we really allowed to speak as God speaks? Are we? I find myself, when I pray, I prayed for my wife this afternoon. And do you know what? I did the very thing that I'm trying to share with you that we don't need to do. You know why? It's habit. It just is habit to do things a certain way. It's a habit to think a certain way. And we have to deliberately not be the old way. I'll show you some scriptures. But we have to actually exert energy to not fall into the old way of doing things once we learn something new. And here's the thing that I'm noticing. If Pastor Trey tells me, Robert, I want you to go over to, can I use you, Sandy? Okay. Robert, I want you to go over to Sandy's house. And, oh, I am not prophesying right. Just like, I am not prophesying right now. I want you to go over to Sandy's house, and I want you to check out that house. It needs to be painted, and I want you to see what kind of supplies they are, and go get those supplies for that house. That's not prophecy. And so if I go there, and Sandy's home, do I come and say, hi, Sandy, I'm here in the name of Pastor Trey. We want to check out your house and see what it needs so that we can paint it. And would that be weird if I did that?
Not down south, is it? Don't come down south. Some people do say that, but they do it in the place of
heat. Right.
Trey sent
me. Yeah.
Trey sent me. That would be another way to say that. Yeah, Trey sent me here to come take a look. That's a polite way of doing it. That would work too. All right, bad example. Let's go to something else. I hope you're trying to, I hope you're following with me though.
But you clarified, you wouldn't say that. You just show up and just
do it. Right, I would. I would just show up and start doing it because I was told to do that, right? So the same thing with Jesus, when he told us to go do something, here's what happens is sometimes we roll it off onto the Lord to do something. We're just the messenger. He's the provider of the power, right? We all know that's true. We don't trust in the arm of flesh. There's nothing that we have. We don't have any special abilities, nothing whatsoever. This flesh is going to turn to dust. The only glory we have comes by the Spirit of God in us, right? And it's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in us. He does the works, right? But if he's in me and I'm one with him, and he and I are one, and we are one spirit joined together, right? Hes, one spirit to the exclusion of all others. That means like in 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 9, I think it is, where he says we're one spirit. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Then I don't have to operate hoping and wishing that Jesus is going to back me up anymore. Are you with me? This has changed the way that I pray. It does. Instead of going, Lord, what's your will here in this situation? I do say that. I do ask him, actually, and you probably do too. How do you want me to pray in this situation? You get a lot of hands laid on you sitting up in the front row. You know that? This is a strategy. It's a strategy. You know that? It's not coincidence. It's strategy. It is. So it's like we're allowed to just command things off of people, just like Jesus did, with no apologies and no hesitations. Here's what happens. Sometimes I just spoke to somebody this afternoon and I said, you know, I just thank you for what you do, for how much you reflect the glory of the Lord. And this person said, oh, it's not me, it's Jesus. You see what they just did? They deflected it. They weren't able to receive the love and just accept the love. They deflected it. My point that it's difficult for people to just accept acknowledgement and the love of God and just receive that. There's something that makes us feel a little unworthy in the mix of the whole thing. How many of you have experienced that where you felt a little bit unworthy in a situation and then when you go to pray for somebody, you don't quite have the boldness or the confidence, right? Paul even prayed it, as you got in the verse in Ephesians 6:19, that he would have the boldness to preach the gospel, that he would be able to speak up in those situations and let people know about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? We all need that. We all need to be reminded of that. I'm not sure that ever goes away. I haven't experienced being total free of it. Like I said, today I prayed for my wife, and I laid hands on her. And I normally just lay hands on her and just thank the Lord for her and command it to go. I found myself wandering today as I was praying for her, you know? Wandering. As I was praying, a lot of words were coming out instead of just touching her and being done with it. So we all fall into rote, into our old experiences and the old ways of doing it. But what we have to do is continue, mind yourself, stir yourself up, remind yourself and say, oh, I don't need to do it that way. Sorry, Lord, I was thinking it's me that's healing her. Bottom line, that's probably where I was at right then, you know. I'm thinking that it's me. It's not me. It's only you, Lord. Get out of her body now in Jesus' name. Be done with it. You know that? But that takes time. Do you know there's scripture after scripture after scripture that says we need to press into these things? Look at this one, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 6. Oh, I already read that to you. That it's God who through all and in you all. It's God through us and in us all. Isn't that right? Okay. So let me ask you a question. This is all, it includes me too, okay? So, you know how Minton's been talking about that we must, that to will to do, to will to want to be obedient to God in love? Okay, why do we pray for people? Shout it out. Shout it out. Because we have compassion. That's actually the right answer. We don't need any more. Because we actually love people. You do? Can I be honest with you? I'm basically afraid of most people. You may not know it when you see me up here. That's just the anointing and my calling. I'm in my gifting. So for this moment, it's an isolated incident. But normally, I'm actually very afraid to meet new people. Very afraid to meet new people. In fact, if I'm by myself out in public, I usually don't talk to anybody at all. I usually basically want to be invisible and go about my way. I'll talk to you on the phone. I'll be just as vivacious as always on the phone, but in front of strangers, I don't know what it is, but I'm just kind of quiet. Anybody else like that? So for me to get out there and to minister to somebody, I have to like break myself out of the mold to go do that. Here's what the Lord's showing me. I don't have to break myself out of the mold. Do you know what? The more that I actually care about what other people are going through, the more that I want to help them because I actually know something. I actually know that the power of God will operate through me in that situation. But it's like static electricity. Do you guys know what that is? Do you have that here in Georgia? It's kind of wet, so I don't know that you have a whole lot of it. But if you got a brand new carpet, you probably see it then. Well, in Colorado, you don't have to do nothing except walk through the air and you get charged up with static electricity. You get zapped, right? It's the lightning capital of the world, Colorado Springs, Colorado. So it's like not always when you touch somebody do you recognize that they get zapped. But every so often they do, don't they? And so the thing is, we just need to pray for everybody, no matter who we see, when we see them, right? And here's what the Lord was showing me today. He really wants me to get this down in my heart. So I'm sharing it with you that maybe you might need to get it down in your heart too. That when I pray as He would pray. As Jesus Himself would pray. As the Father would pray. After all, they're in me, aren't they? And we're all one. And when we're one, it's just the way it is, isn't it? These words are biblical, aren't they? They're written over and over and over again. But how come they're so elusive at times? It seems like they're not real when we step out in society, right? It's just there's something that grips us. Am I the only one that has happened to? It has been a battle. But I got to tell you, the Lord has been so faithful. In the last couple of months, I've had a lot of people that have gotten to pray for and seen results in. And you know what? It's just been spontaneous when it happened. I wasn't trying. I wasn't looking. It's just somebody mentioned something, and at that moment, something rose up in me, and then we connected, and the Lord healed him. Amen? I don't know what time it is. Oh, praise the Lord. It's what? 6:51. Oh, I've got 2 hours. Praise God. I don't get sleepy till 9:30. So, let me ask you a question or two. I don't mind if you talk to me. Does this sound crazy to you that when we pray, we can pray as God prays? Instead of asking God, we just are in his place doing the prayer. Does that sound crazy to any of you?
Let me ask you a question.
It doesn't? Good, Fred.
Is it all right to ask the Holy Spirit to pray through us?
Well, I don't see anything wrong with that. There's nothing. Here's the thing. Whatever you've been doing, unless the Holy Spirit convicts you of it, you know what? No person is allowed to really be your teacher in that area. Unless you're under the authority of somebody else, then you do it their way because you're under their authority.
The Holy Spirit is one that has all authority.
He does. But you know what?
That's reason I like to ask him.
I agree with asking him. But he doesn't override who's ever in charge of what's going on. Unless he does it corporately for everybody. And then he'll just invade a service. But we still have to be submitted to our authorities. And he will respect the man of authority over what you hear individually. Like this, I went on a mission trip once. Let me explain. I see the faces. Let me explain. I went on a mission trip once. And the mission trip said this. Nobody wander off. It's dangerous here. We have insurance binders on you all. It's a big deal if any of you wander off. Stay in your groups when we pray for people and go out in the public. Does everyone agree? And we sign the consent form. Okay? We've all signed it. We all agree. We've all been instructed. We're out there praying for people, and it's going really well. One person walked off on their own because they said the Lord told them to go pray for this person. That was a straggler out there. Guess what? Was that the Holy Spirit? Why? Because there was already instruction given by the authority of that mission trip. And the Holy Spirit makes us stay. He knows what obligations have been placed on us. And he has us stay with those parameters. He can still work inside of the parameters that we've been given. He's all powerful. So what he can do is he can bring the people to us on that mission trip or have them set up spiritually way ahead of time before we get there because he knows all things. And then they'll be there for when we do our mission outreach, they'll be at that place that we go to. We don't have to wander off to find people. Okay? That's what I'm talking about. When we are under the governors and tutors, the Holy Spirit knows that and he set it up and we're supposed to stay in that arena. That's the only time I'm saying in that situation. Other than that, I always say, listen to the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit won't transgress that authority is all I'm saying.
He'll tell you to stay where you are, just like you said.
Mm-hmm. Miriam and Aaron, if you remember in the Old Testament, where they were saying, well, doesn't God talk to us too? Right? She had a little bit of problems because Robert paraphrase, who do you think you are? I talk to him face to face. I only talk to you in dark sayings and in dreams. But I talk to him face to face. Who do you think you are? I'll tell you what, that put them right in their place again. God honors the man. God honored David, even though David made some mistakes. God honors whoever the man of God is. He knows what parameters you've been given, and he knows what to operate. How we can operate within those. That's all I'm talking about, okay? Yeah, I mean all people. Because the Bible says there's neither male nor female, Greek or Jew. Yeah, you know the one. Slave or free. There's none of that. In the spirit, let's get rid of all that gender stuff. You know, even the part in Ephesians chapter 5, and don't make me wander too much, it talks about wives and husbands. You know, what does it say at the very end? He's talking about Christ and the church, okay? So even that, even, listen, male and female is so that we understand the kingdom of God and our relationship with Jesus Christ. Family, he gave us family so we'd understand the kingdom of God and our relationship with Jesus Christ. All that we have is so that we can understand God. That's why he set everything up the way it is. I mean, even the earth, you're making me wonder. The earth had to be water baptized, right? And it got rid of all the filth of the flesh, and the whole earth was water baptized. Next, the whole earth will be baptized in his fire. Baptism in the Holy Spirit. The whole earth is going to be filled with his glory. And then the whole earth is going to be renewed in brand new creation, right? Just like us, it's going to happen to the earth also. So God uses these little simple systems. Now that I'm thoroughly off track, right, but doing it in the name of Jesus doesn't mean you have to say in the name of Jesus. Right. I agree. I'm not trying to say don't say in the name of Jesus. I'm trying to make another point. You can say that every time if you want to. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's not a magic phrase. That's my point. When I come in the name of somebody, I am coming in their place. That's my point. We're talking about being able to pray as God prays, without asking permission, without wondering if he's going to back us up, without wondering if we have authority to actually pray and tell that thing to go. When you go to Wendy's, in the name of Jesus. When you use the restroom, in the name of Jesus. When you go to your car, in the name, he's saying, so that kind of gets an exercise in futility after a while. And it starts to be just, like, here's the thing, amen. A lot of people just tack that on to the end of a prayer. But that's not why it's there. And I taught you this just recently. The word amen is an actual Greek word. Do you know what it's translated when it's the first word in a sentence? Oh, yes. Amen is the first word in a lot of sentences in the Bible. Do you know that? A lot of them, it's the first word in the Bible. And do you know what? It's not translated amen when it's the first word. It's translated verily or truly. And he says, truly I say unto you. He says, amen I say unto you. All amen means is it's firm. It's solid. You can trust in this. It's real. It's firm. That's what amen means. It's you can trust this. It is. And we just say amen as the ending of a prayer. It's like, I'm finished praying now. I said amen. Instead of what we just prayed, because I just said these words, it's firm. It is absolute matter of fact. It is real now. And whenever Jesus was going to start something that he really wanted you to get, he would say, verily, I say unto you, amen. I say unto you, in other words, trust this. It's firm what I'm about to say. Yes, there. And Jesus said, everything I did in the name of the Father, but we never heard his Father's name. I'm not saying don't say that, you guys. Please, don't get into that. Say in the name of Jesus. Don't stop saying it. But know what you're saying when you're saying it. In other words, I am coming as Jesus, authority of Jesus, commissioned by Jesus, filled with Jesus, to be Jesus in this situation. That's what I'm saying. And when the Lord said to me, he says, this learn it, and when you speak, speak as I would speak. Speak as I would speak. In other words, in my stead, be me in this moment. And he does say that. He says, nothing that I say are my own words. In fact, if you want to look in John chapter 14 through 17, it's all over the place. He says, the words that I speak, they are not my own. They are the Father's. And the proof of the pudding is, Robert paraphrased, that they are the Father's is, he backs me up by doing the works. So another thing is, if God is backing you up, you are operating in his name. If he's not backing you up, you might not be. Now, let the light go on, because, listen, I'm being real with you guys as I'm growing and learning things and pressing in to be able to really manifest these things in real life. I've been to a lot of meetings where they say they operate in the gifts of the Spirit and then they don't. They say they heal people and then nobody gets healed. Listen, I want to really walk in this stuff fully, truly, reality. And so the only way that we're all going to do it is some of us go first, and then we all glean from each other our success stories. Carlos gave me a great success story that he prayed for someone that had cancer the other day. And, oh, come on. And you know what? Today he was told that there's no cancer found in that person's body. What a glory report about that. I'm telling you what. Can I share more? Somebody else in our congregation had a dream, and the Lord showed them her operated in the Spirit, healing people, and the power of God going through her to heal people, and she was there showing other people how the power of God was working. Do you know what? I think that's a prelude for what's coming in her life. Isn't it? So what we need, this is what's happening, you guys. The Holy Spirit is getting ready to bust out of us and to really start showing the world the power of God operating through his saints who have been oppressed, who have been kicked to the curb, who have been so prejudiced against by so many, that he's going to take us that have been basically bruised and beaten and pushed to the curb, and he's going to show his great glory out through us. Yeah. And it's him doing it. Does anybody think anything's wrong with that? Nothing at all. I think that's absolute wisdom. The way you check with him, some people might do it just lightning fast, because they're spending so much time with the Lord all the time that there's not a really, Lord, what are you saying to me right now? They don't have to go through that stage. People that aren't in the presence of the Lord a lot might need to take more time and find out, do I have peace to go do this or not? You know, it just depends on how close of a relationship you're actually in at that moment. A real relationship, not a pretend one. He sure is. There's one gift in the Holy Spirit that I really love. Actually, it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit that is a great fruit to walk in. Self-control. It is the one that, it's like the pinky finger, you know. It doesn't get all the glory until you really need to grab a hold of something. And then you wish you had a pinky if you didn't have one, I got to tell you. That little thing may be the smallest finger, but it does a lot. Self-control is an incredible fruit of the Holy Spirit. So much so, I'm not kidding, that when Paul was talking to, remember when Paul was in chains, and then they took him, he wanted to go to Caesar in Acts, and then he's before Festus there, and Festus, he started talking about the kingdom of God and eternal life and all that, and he says he was thinking about this story. I got to look at it. It's in Acts 25 or 26. It's in 24:25. Now, as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I'll call for you." In other words, I started freaking him out when he started talking about righteousness, self-control, and eternal judgment. He started freaking because, you know what? A lot of people don't realize that we have to operate in self-control. It's the pivoting fruit of the Spirit. It's the one that really allows us to go from being a man who has accepted the Lord to a man who's walking in the gifts of the Lord. Amen. Or a woman, a person. Self-control is that pivoter that lets you stop giving into the flesh and the deeds of the body and lets you start operating in the things of the Spirit. So my point, to be able to really, when we see people, to have enough love for them, to be able to receive enough love from God that we are loved no matter what. And because he forgave us our sins, he's forgiven everyone's sins, whether they know it or not. As far as he's concerned, he paid for everybody. Not everybody takes the ticket and gets a ride, though. You got to accept your ticket to get on the ride. And because he paid for everybody to get a ticket, not everyone's accepted him. And one of the things, the evangelizing tools, is that how you say, evangelical tools? Whatever. Is that the power of the Holy Spirit will set people free and heal them. Right? And to prove that the kingdom of God is real and that Jesus really is who he says he is and what he did for other people. And praying for people and getting them healed and set free or a word of prophecy or praying for a loved one as they're standing in proxy form, when those things come to pass, it proves to the other people that Jesus is who he says he is and he did what he said he would do, and that they can do that also. And the Lord's just really getting to where I think the more we step out and just do it and quit having condemnation, guilt, shame, inferiority, not feeling like we know enough, not feeling like we're usable. If we can get that stuff out of the way and know that it's just totally scriptural to just pray and set them free, that we'll see a lot more of the Holy Spirit doing stuff in people's lives. And I just really think, this is my opinion, it's not in the book, but it's my opinion, that the more he wants us to step out, the more the desire is going to be in us to do that. Because if he put it in us, both to will and to do for his good pleasure, then we'll want to, and we'll be praying things like this: Lord, give me an opportunity. Lord, put somebody in my path that I can minister to. And we'll start seeing our hearts wanting to do that. And just, you know, the other day I said, Lord, I would like to pray for more people just off the cuff, because I associate with so many people in church. I'm not in public a whole lot. So I said, I want to pray for somebody just off the cuff. So you're going to have to put somebody in my path and that they want to be prayed for. You know, you just can't go up and grab sticks out from underneath somebody's arms and say, go walk. And not the good thing to do. And he's given me several opportunities to do that. And so I'm really excited about all this. I'm losing y'all. So, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity that we've had to come and get your word, Lord. Father, I thank you for the people that are in this room. You know, I know that you're putting it in our hearts that we can start seeing more manifestations. I know that there's people here that are believing for revival, that are believing for the young people to come into the church, that are believing for people to get saved that have never heard the gospel, for people that have heard it but have never had a heart transformation, Lord, for them. I know that there's people in this room that desire to see people that are pain-free and to be able to see them set free from the pain that's in their body. And Lord, we've talked about praying in your name. We've talked about doing things as you would do them. We talked about your spirit being in us, Lord. Father, we're doing what we know to do to press in. We're doing what we know to do to be obedient. We're doing what we know to do to walk in these things, Lord. But as Fred pointed out, it is only by your Holy Spirit. It's only by us being led by your Spirit, Father. So, Lord, I just ask that everyone that can hear my voice right now, that your voice would be so crystal clear to us that we can actually follow you and walk with you as one with you, Lord, and just learn from you as you show us how to manifest your glory in this world. And Lord, I just trust you, and I want to thank you for the people that get healed when we lay hands on them, for the people that get saved when we pray for them, Lord, and for the people whose lives are turned around, Father, as they're introduced to you and baptized in your Holy Spirit so you can start cleaning them up from the inside out, Father. Lord, we desire to glorify you in everything we do. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.